Walk Tonight. And once again, I'm your host, Victoria Ann Davis.
And I'm Roz Davis.
All right. So it looks like we've got a story first up about the 4-H Fair, because we've been wanting to talk about it. We talked a little bit about it last week, but it's been pretty good. Of course, there's been some stories going around, and this one comes from Tap Into It.
That's right.
Chamber member Tap Into It.
So the fair's next week.
It is. It is. And for those of you who want to learn a little bit more about that, let's get started.
All right.
The Hunterdon County 4-H and Agricultural Fair makes its return to South County Park in Lambertville this year from August 25th through August 29th.
That's this coming Wednesday.
Yeah. Sherry Peterson, Hunterdon County 4-H Program Assistant, reflected on the state of the county's 4-H program and previewed the 2021 Hunterdon County 4-H and Agricultural Fair. As always, the fair will feature the many 4-H club displays and livestock exhibits, along with the tractor pull event, musical acts, dog events, new work exhibits, photography contests, food vendors, and rides for families to enjoy. In addition, a firework display will be held August 27th from 9 to 9:30 p.m.
So that's, wait a minute, that's on Friday night.
That is on Friday night, yes. Oh, and by the way, the Hunterdon Chamber will have a tent right next to the stage, so you can come over, say hi, spin the wheel for prizes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Just thought, and that'll be there throughout the whole fair? The duration of the fair?
Yeah, I think it's there every day. We don't have terribly long hours every day, but we are there for the most part. If you want, you know, to bring your kids over and show them what a Chamber of Commerce is so they know who to call. You know, back when we were kids, if you want, our parents wanted to travel somewhere, our mom would, probably go and to the library and look up the Chamber of Commerce phone number for that area or their address, and then she'd write like a little letter like to whom it may concern. I'm thinking of visiting, Ocean City, Maryland, or whatever, and then she'd please send me a brochure, and she'd include a self-addressed stamp envelope and mail it off to the Chamber of Commerce, and lo and behold, a little thing would come back from the chamber.
So local Chamber of Commerce will respond to people from out of town, their inquiries?
Absolutely. Sometimes people do call and about, I'm thinking of moving to the area. What kind of health food stores do you have? And then we tell them about Basil Bandwagon and all the other good things that are going on here.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So there's a lot. So if you want your kids to grow up knowing what a Chamber of Commerce is, it's good to come visit the tent or just spin the wheel and win some neat prizes, etc.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you want me to take the next section?
Oh, do you want to?
Sure. Peterson said she is proud to be both a lifelong 4-H'er and Hunterdon County resident. The mission of the Hunterdon County 4-H and Agricultural Fair, she said, is to celebrate the county's agrarian heritage by providing a countywide agricultural fair for Hunterdon residents and to those of the surrounding areas, to promote agriculture, present educational exhibits, provide family entertainment, and offer competitive events for the agricultural community. A fair has been going on here in Flemington for quite some time.
Yes.
Well over 150 years.
Yeah.
Dates back to Victorian times, where the fair was held in Flemington, right, at the fairgrounds.
Yes, at the racetrack.
The old racetrack. Which people may not know where that was.
Yes.
The marquee event takes all year to plan and coordinate, and new protocols for increased public safety and physical distancing were detailed by the Hunterdon County Parks Department head, Dan Bush, in his July 6th report to the Board of County Commissioners. With the culmination of every county 4-H youth development program year in August, the Hunterdon County 4-H and Agricultural Fair is always the most highlighted event. Youth from the 21 various Hunterdon County 4-H clubs get to publicly present their projects, ranging from traditional livestock, horticultural, and food to art and robotics. Back in my day, the fair was held also later in the month, actually bumped up right against Labor Day. In fact, the last day was Labor Day. So it always was kind of a bittersweet affair because it was the time that rides came to town, and I got to ride on rides, but also meant that once the fair was over, I had to go back to school.
So, yes. You always went back the very next day.
Not the next day, the Wednesday. It was typically the Wednesday after Labor Day. Yeah, you had a day in between, and then you went back, and boom, a whole new year of school.
Yeah.
Peterson knows that Hunterdon County's 4-H program today has 230 youth members in 21 clubs, 150 volunteers getting to participate in 35 shows and events during the 5-day run of the fair. According to Peterson, through the years, the fair has given opportunities to local farmers to showcase agriculture, but it's expanded to represent much growth and potential for Hunter County's 4-H youth. The fair is a showcase of a year's worth of planning, preparing, and creating 4-H projects that make this a worthwhile program for our youth, she said. It's one of Hunter County's most treasured traditions, and it brings out 4-H families, farmers, and communities together. Livestock rides, food, fun, and entertainment is what generations have looked forward to at the Hunter County 4-H and Agricultural Fair. 4-H kids have the opportunity to show livestock and camp out in the barns as herders would. They set up educational promotional displays, perform on horseback, entertain the public with dog agility, give talks on the main stage, teach firearm safety, and more.
Yeah, someday we have to get somebody in here. Maybe Sherry Peterson can join us to talk about what 4-H is and where it comes from. For people who are not from rural areas, might not know, but this is basically a program from the Department of Agriculture to increase knowledge from a very early age, usually in youth, about proper farming practices and preserving practices and basically all kinds of skills that are associated with rural living. So it's basically it's to foster responsible farming practice in youth. And of course, it's grown since there. They've got, you know, like robotics people clubs and stuff like that, which is kind of cool. So let me see.
For many
of 4-H's livestock clubs, the annual fair presents a showmanship class for the handler to demonstrate the rapport they have with their animals to judges and how they set the animal up to look its best, Pearson said. All our livestock programs do showmanship. It's one of the skills the kids learn for themselves. In order to get their animal to a place really well, the kids have to show it really well. It makes a difference with experience on the animals, and they have to learn to set them up and present animals for their best appearance. Kids handling livestock must also be able to answer the judge's questions, testing the knowledge they have of the animal. Pearson's mother started the 4-H program's Utter Joy Kids Goat Club in the early 70s, and it's now its sixth decade in Hunterdon County. Pearson, her two sisters, and two brothers were all active members during their childhoods. The siblings had the dairy goat experience at home as well, growing up on the family's farm in Baptist Town in Kingwood Township. The current lineup of Hunterdon County 4-H Youth Development Club set to present includes Creative Kids, Robo Storm Robotics, see, Junior Leaders, Student Adventure, Veterinary Experience, again very important, Mount Airy Dairy, the oldest 4-H club dating back over 100 years.
Wow.
The Round Valley Riders, Horse Club, the Centaurs 4-H Club, Hunterdon County Sheep, Hunterdon Homesteaders Animal Club, Hunterdon Dead Eyes, Spot on Shooters, yes, the Dead Eyes are also a shooting club, I believe. Hunterdon Hogs, the Hunterdon County Beef Club, Hunterdon Hoppers, Paws, Fur and Feathers, Small Animal, Four Paws to Freedom, Seeing Eye Puppies, So Bake and Bloom, Gregarious Goat Kids, and the Kick Butt Kids Goat Club, and the Utter Joy Kids Goat Club. Pearson discussed the learning involved for members in every step of the county's 4-H programs. No matter what 4-H program kids are in, there are safety guidelines that will be followed. She said, with livestock, there's a ton of veterinary science skills kids pick up. If members join an animal club, they learn about the animal from start to finish, including nutrition, what grains or hay to feed them, the breeding program on that animal, and the right times to breed the animal, and what the goals are for raising the animal, be they raised for dairy, meat, wool, silk, fiber, or egg production. These lessons apply across 4-H programs, though it varies with what a kid will learn and what they would learn first in each.
The 5-day event for 2021 retains traditional fair elements. However, certain parts are being scaled down a bit due to the pandemic's disruption of 4-H activities over the past 18 months. While the livestock industry across Hunterdon County is thriving, the public is advised of the scaled-down presence at this year's fair. The usual 150 or so goats in the goat barn will not be accommodated, and Peterson attendees should expect to see closer to 30 goats there.
Okay.
Poultry. She noted that this still may surprise some folks who attend from other counties due to the reputation of Hunterdon showcasing a ton of livestock.
We do have a lot, especially these days.
Peterson added that sheep shaving is unlikely to take place, but many other activities inside the barns are still scheduled to go on, including milking demonstrations of cows and goats.
New to the Hunterdon County 4-H program for 2021 is the Bee Club. Beekeeping. Ooh, that's cool. Which remains a division of the Creative Kids Club. Originally, members of Creative Kids were learning about honeybees. Then the program opened up to any of 4-H, Hunterdon's 4-H kids. Lessons to be learned include the pollination process of plants and agriculture's dependence on bees with growing vegetables. During the pandemic's halt to regular 4-H activities, members in the Bee Club built hives, and in spring 2021, the bees were welcomed into them. The 4-H beehives are housed in Raritan Township at Hunterdon Land Trust headquarters at the historic DeVore Farm.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Pearson said the Bee Club has gained much momentum and will continue generating a big buzz in years to come because of the rise in home beekeeping as a suburban and rural New Jersey hobby. In the activities with hives, there are members of the Northwest New Jersey Beekeepers Association that come to educate the 4-H kids on how to raise bees and especially how to keep the queen alive. Without the queen bee, the hive is lost, and the kids learn to ensure all the steps to keep the queen bees alive in the hive. We also examine the role of honeybees to eventually have all our fruit and vegetable produce. Leaders and Creative Kids are part of the Bee Club, but any member of the Bee Club did not have to start as part of the Creative Kids. It's open to other members. When the club expands to be too much to handle, it'll separate and become only the 4-H Bee Club. The club is interesting. Kids learn how to harvest the beeswax and honey.
Peterson said 4-H Four Paws to Freedom Seeing Eye Club is a unique offering, one that is actually open to adults, too, to raise seeing eye dog puppies for a good cause. There are two divisions of this club, with half the members being in Flemington and the other half meeting in North Hunterdon. Four Paws has been around Hunterdon County for many years, she said. They go on many outings to introduce the seeing eye puppies to being around large crowds. The puppies are trained not to react and not to jump on people. In some instances, the club asks people not to pet the dogs. Adults can also be a part of the 4-H program to raise a puppy, though only the 4-H youth members would participate if there's a seeing eye dog show at the fair. Another 4-H club making a debut at the 2021 fair is the reimagined Hunterdon County Beef Club. When Peterson was growing up in the 70s, there was previously a 4-H beef club, and many young people were involved in it. Second iteration of the county's beef club existed in the mid-1990s, though it did not catch on with the youth. But the 2021 reprise holds potential, Peterson said. Children participating in beef club talk about beef club a lot, actually. They don't keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
What happens to beef club?
Apparently doesn't just stay in beef club. It might end up on your plate and be delicious.
So anyway, they learn about food sourcing, nutrition, and the agribusiness. This club teaches kids about raising livestock animals from the birth up until the end result of becoming a beef product. She said, there is breeding of beef cattle where kids learn how to breed proper beef animals and raise young beef and raise the young up to meat. One of the programs for the fair this year is beef. It's what's for dinner, which will explain cuts of meat that come from the animal, which is always helpful because even I don't know all the cuts of beef.
I do not either.
The club will present its youth showmanship class and a cattle breed exposition during the fair. Peterson said she and her husband Matt are leaders for the Hunterdon Deadeyes Shooting Sports 4-H Youth Club, where the kids receive firearm safety training from volunteer instructors. The other live shooting sports club in Hunterdon County is 4-H program is the Spot On Shooters. Hunterdon Deadeyes teaches five disciplines: archery, rifle, shotgun, muzzle loader guns, and air pistol safety techniques, she said. There's a lot of community service involved with teaching firearm safety to area scout troops. We set up at the Croton Rotten Gun Club, based in Flemington, and we are basically all about teaching fundamentals and proper techniques with firearm safety. Kids are able to shoot and learn in each discipline. They do not have to have the equipment to join the club.
Wow. I did not know that Kurt and Ron Gun Club helped
participated,
out with that.
Yeah, they helped out the 4-H.
There you go. The pandemic led to several challenges to instruct youth in shooting sports and firearm safety, as virtual learning would not deliver the necessary lessons and in-hand demonstrations. Basically, kids involved in shooting sports clubs could not shoot for a year and a half. They couldn't do club shoots, and it was pretty challenging, she said. We tried to do training with games like Jeopardy and Bingo, and through the Dead Eyes, we did an online training course for new members until we were able to meet in person. The kids could not take their first shots in the disciplines, but as soon as we met in person a few months ago, they did that. Through 4-H from home, New Jersey's state 4-H program offered virtual participation in 2020 and continuing this year, especially for club-level leaders with a certificate option for leadership development. Imagine your leadership potential. But Pearson noted how the hands-on practice of showing and judging livestock was challenging to do in the virtual sphere. Kids would upload pictures of their livestock, and the judges would judge based on the picture, but it's not always easy to do. In general, the 4-H program has done whatever we could to keep our youth engaged through the pandemic. A contributing factor to current 4-H enrollment was less recruitment over the past 2 years as members graduated out of the youth development program. COVID halted our recruitment in 2020, and our clubs will be recruiting going forward since we are holding the fair this year. Last year, though virtual, we were able to hold on to the members we had, and now the clubs are able to really ramp up to promote their programs and activities again.
A longtime colleague of hers with Hunterdon County 4-H is Louisa Cole, co-founder of the Junior Leaders Club. Cole of Rennington Township grew up participating in the Hunterdon County Sheep Club, which ranks among 4-H's oldest. Pearson thanked her for putting in decades of effort and persistence. As she said, Cole is a lifelong mentor for our youth development program. Cole will celebrate a special occasion soon, being inducted into the National 4-H Hall of Fame in Washington, D.C. this October. Hunterdon County's 4-H program could be primed for an upswing in participation with the club starting up again in September. Program registrations for the 2021-22 season are ongoing and will be available on-site at the fair and thereafter. Interested families should contact Pearson at the Hunterdon County Rutgers Cooperative Extension 4-H Youth Development Office at 908-788-1341 or spearson@co.hunterdon.nj.us.
All right. Well, that's good. I wish they would make 4-H for adults, though. I think at this point we have enough people who either grew up urban or suburban but are interested in farming that it would be nice if they had a program where we could go, like, I don't know.
Micro-farming.
Yeah, exactly. Like, learn about micro-farming. I guess there are some programs out there, but a nice organized program, maybe something national, where you can learn about the business, agribusiness and micro-farming and all those good things. Maybe aquaponics, that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps it up for the first half, roughly. I guess it's time for a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about our space case.
That's right.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right. Well, we're back on Random Walk tonight, and I think it's time for us to space out a bit.
I think it is. So,
who
wants to go first? I'll go if you don't want to.
Okay.
Well, Space.com reports Blue Origin is now suing NASA in its latest attempt to push back against the agency's decision to award SpaceX its first moon lander contract. Jeff Bezos, a space company, has made quite a few complaints about NASA's decision to award only SpaceX its human landing system, HLS, contract to provide the agency's new moon lander for its Artemis program. When many were expected the agency to select two winners. Now, after its protest, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, or the GAO, have been denied, Blue Origin is upping the ante by filing a federal lawsuit challenging NASA's decision. Now, I know when you're going up for, like, a government contract, there is certain, like, rules and things that you have to abide by in the federal set by the Federal Register, and there's, like, these rules. And what happens is if somebody feels like it's meant to create, like, fairness in the bid process.
Right.
And when competitors feel – they can always protest. And I think it's pretty common for competitors to protest an award. There's a process for that. So apparently we went through the process of protests, Blue Origin did, and they came up like, no, we're good. So now he's taking the lawsuit to the streets. Anyway, the lawsuit challenges NASA's unlawful and improper evaluation of proposals submitted under the HLS Option A, B, A, A, or Broad Agency Announcement, Blue Origin said in the motion to seal filings, according to Space News.
They're such playing as Space News.
Space News. Blue Origin filed a lawsuit on Friday, August 13th, in the Court of Federal Claims, which has jurisdiction over protests that have already been reviewed by the GAO. In-depth details about the lawsuit are not yet publicly available because the documents were sealed after Blue Origin was granted a protective order on August 16th. Blue Origin filed the suit in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims in an attempt to remedy the flaws in the acquisition process found in NASA's human landing system, a Blue Origin spokesperson told TechCrunch. We firmly believe that the issues identified in this procurement and its outcomes must be addressed to restore fairness, create competition, and ensure a safe return to the moon for America. Again, there are standards and practices that the people at the government, whoever the government contracting officer was, has to follow in order to keep it fair and competitive. So I don't know where this suit will actually end up.
Right.
Not that I'm a legal expert.
No.
In April, NASA awarded the HLS contract to SpaceX for its $2.9 billion bid that would see a version of the company's Starship spacecraft used to land NASA's next astronauts on the moon as part of the Artemis 3 mission targeting launch in 2024. This was a surprising move, as most expected NASA to choose two of the three companies in the running. In addition to Blue Origin, Dianetics was also being considered. I know, you had to like fall a little bit at that name. I wonder what the origin of that name was.
Can't imagine.
Anyway, in running to both fuel the fires of competition and have a backup lander running in case one was needed. This bid was accepted after, in 2020, the Senate approved only a fraction of the funding that NASA requested for its planned lunar landing. So that meant, I guess, there was no room to build a secondary
lander.
Backup vendor. Yeah.
And to hire a different vendor or an extra vendor. Interesting. Interesting.
So that's our space case. So I don't. What do you think, Vic? Do you have any opinion?
Well, gee, that makes you wonder, though. I mean, like, whose job is it to go to the moon? I mean, we planted our flag in it, so it kind of belongs to this country,
right?
But who's? How do you get permission? Like, what if somebody wanted to haul off and make their own moon rocket?
I don't know. Well, doesn't the FAA kind of judge all of that too?
Because I guess so.
I thought it fell under that jurisdiction because they have to give you a license to go up, right? Isn't that Jeff Bezos had to?
Yeah.
Or it was Richard Branson that had to move his. Who went first? Okay. Oh, Jeff Bezos had to move his license and get permission from the FAA to go up.
Yes. Yes. So I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to probably need different landers anyway. I mean, if space becomes a commercial thing.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose space will come. I suppose the moon will become a commercial thing for, like, mining. I guess they got to know, like, what kind of elements are up there from all the samples we already took.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a great thing to be taking pieces of the moon, seeing as it is responsible for tidal forces on the
pieces of the moon. So you're saying as we lighten up the moon, it could have catastrophic effects on our tides?
Yeah. I don't want to mess with it too much, but...
But I think they're going to mess with it.
They're going to mess with it.
Well, they're definitely going to mess with the asteroids, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the asteroids, those could... We should be careful, but that could actually be a good thing. You can actually use up the planetoids so they can't crash into you. Plus, you get stuff.
Anyway, enough about space and the moon and all of that.
Let's come back down to Earth.
Let's come back down to the Earth and geek out over Jeopardy.
All right. Oh, nothing like geekiness. Jeopardy announces Mike Richards and Mayim Bialik as the new hosts.
Two hosts. Are they better than one? We'll debate that. But go on, Vic.
Yep. The long-running game show decided to turn its own executive producer into, in succeeding, Alex Trebek, who died last year as the show's regular host. After the death of longtime Jeopardy host Alex Trebek, the game show has decided that it will take not one, but two people to fill his shoes. Mike Richards, the show's executive producer, will become its new regular host, and the actress Mayim Bialik, yeah, Blossom, you heard me, will take over for primetime specials. The woman already has two careers. She's an actress, and she's a biologist.
You know, there was a day... Can I
riff here?
Please. Please do. There was a day where, actually, broadcasters... It was a specific job, and you had a job. You weren't like Ryan Seacrest that had 50 million jobs in broadcasting, and you didn't have all the jobs. You had a job in broadcasting. And this whole thing about with game show, particularly game show hosts, and game show hosts, you know, they came out of radio typically, and they were well-groomed, and they understood how to do patter, and there was actually a skill set involved. If you go back, go to the Game Show Network and watch the old game shows, and you'll see, like, there's a certain amount of, like, gravitas and power, patter and a way of, like, facilitating the game that was actually a skill. And I don't think it's valued today. Dancing with the Stars comes to mind as one example. But it's like this whole stunting of picking people who are actors, and there's a lot of them out there right now. I mean, everybody from Elizabeth Banks to... Joel McHale, who else? There's a whole bunch of them, but what's his face? Anthony Edwards.
Really?
Yeah. Or even Michael Strahan, which, you know, is he a broadcaster? He was a football player before he was a broadcaster. I don't know how I feel about it.
He went from football to sportscasting to broadcasting.
Mean, there's a lot of good, like, broadcasting programs and colleges out there that kids go to, and then they don't get the hosting jobs. Because we're too busy stunting, having people who've either been a sports person or an actress.
Model. Occasionally a model.
You know, and to be hosts. And so, yeah, I think you're right. Mayim Bialik has had plenty of jobs. She's got, you know, a busy career. And that's one of the reasons why she wasn't named the permanent host, is one of the things I had heard, is because she was too busy with all their other stuff.
Host of Jeopardy.
Yeah, so she's doing... apparently, they're going to try 50 million spinoffs from this story, but as you read this, you'll see.
No.
But I don't think that's a good idea. I think that dilutes the brand and kind of gets away from the purpose of... I don't know. I like Jeopardy. Alex Trebek came up through the broadcast ranks. He knew how to facilitate. He had the gravitas. He had the poise.
He could even do it in French because he was Canadian.
That's correct. So he was, you know, bilingual in that respect. You know, there's a whole, you know, and the breed is, you know, those people are retiring off whoever are left, you know, you're, you know.
Yeah.
So a viable career choice. And now it seems like you have had to have done something else in order to be
even considered.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm sorry. That was my little diatribe.
Yeah.
My view does not necessarily reflect members of the Chamber of Commerce.
That's true.
It's just my own view.
The move puts an end to months of speculation who will replace Trebek, who had been hosting for the show for 36 years when he died of pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. Bialik, who is known for her roles in the sitcoms The Big Bang Theory and Blossom, will be the first woman to be permanent host of Jeopardy. Her role will include hosting a new college championship tournament set to air next year on ABC. The Daily Beast was the first to report the news. As the show's executive producer, Richards already has one of the top roles on the program and has been involved in strategizing how to keep the show going past the Trebek era. Mm-hmm. Never in my wildest dreams could I have imagined being chosen to step into a role of this magnitude, he said in a news release. Of course, he was also...
He wasn't around that long as an executive producer. I thought he was around much longer, but it really was only like about a year. Yeah. So
he hasn't even been involved with Jeopardy.
Yes. Read on.
For more than 7 months, Jeopardy, which reports an audience weekly of more than 20 million, has tested out over a dozen guest hosts, including Richards and Bialik. Some of the hosts were established television personalities who seemed unlikely to take on the permanent hosting role, such as Anderson Cooper and Katie Couric. Others, like LeVar Burton and Ken Jeong, seemed to be auditioning for the job as they presented clues and bantered with contestants on stage. A senior group of Sony Pictures television executives pored over footage from every episode, reviewed research from multiple panels and focus groups, and got valuable input from our key partners and Jeopardy viewers. Ravi Ashu, a Sony executive, said in the release.
Did they really, though?
I know. Because some of these just happened. I mean, they were probably filmed a couple months ago, but still.
Yeah, I just don't see where they were pouring or where they asked focus groups, because there's been a lot of, like, you know, there's places where people have ranked the performances. We've even talked about it. It was a subject on the show, you know, a couple months ago. I can't imagine that's the two people they came up with, of all the people that were that hosted the show. Because I had my favorites, and it was neither one of them.
No. Speaking live on Instagram on Wednesday, Bialik praised Richards, noting that he would be the syndicated host, which is likely the everyday person. Like when I guest hosted. Wow, she sounds really intelligent there.
She's supposed to be some sort of scientist.
She actually is a microbiologist.
Yeah.
As well as an actress. Just thought I'd point that one out. And that she had been chosen as the person to do either
Jeopardy things. Other Jeopardy things.
And like Jeopardy stuff.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know how I feel about her. Anyway. Go on.
She suggested that her role may be fluid as Jeopardy develops new spinoffs.
Yeah, how many spinoffs can you have of Jeopardy?
I don't know. I remember Rock and Roll Jeopardy. That was good.
You said that was on MTV.
That was on VH1, but yeah, a Viacom network.
Who was the host again?
Jeff Probst.
It was Jeff Probst.
Before he was on Survivor.
Before he was on Survivor.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice. I don't know.
Maybe they should have auditioned Jeff Probst. I know he belongs to CBS, but still.
Yeah, maybe. They should have found some old-timey game show hosts and thrown them up there just as fill-ins to see how they would do. But
yeah.
I don't like the lack of professionality of certain people, the lack of professionality and poise, because they didn't come up through the broadcast ranks. And I was not happy at Maya Bialik's performance, so I don't know who
thought she was good.
She was a bit scoldy.
She would scold people for getting answers wrong. It was, like, terrible. It's like causing Jeopardy trauma. Like, don't do that.
I don't know. Various spinoffs, I don't know how I feel about various spinoffs.
Maybe they should have had Weird Al stunt, you know, Mr. I Lost on Jeopardy himself.
Cool. He should have at least hosted a week.
That would have been fun. They should have had some fun with it. Maybe they should have had, like, Bergeron out there hosting a week. And so you understand what it's supposed to look like. Yeah. Anyway, she suggested that her role may be fluid as Jeopardy develops new spinoffs. Name it, and they may dream it up for me to host. She said, lying in bed under the covers, she went out of her way to praise Burton, whom she has worked with before, and who had a large fan base pushing for him to be named host. See, she has to say something nice because she's got the fan base out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Variety magazine published, I thought he had really bad ratings, though, which I didn't know if that had more to do with the time of the year.
I think it had to do with people on vacation. It's in the middle of July when he was on.
It's also, yeah, and it's also, there's got to be host fatigue because they had been through so many hosts by that point.
Well, it'd be interesting to see. Did the ratings, like, decline, like, through this? Again, people are on vacation and doing other things outside. Did they, you know, I would like to see, like, the ratings, you know, peaks and valleys for the, you know, since the beginning of the year and how that all worked. I mean, you know, the executive producer, he hosted the first shows after Alex had passed. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of curiosity. And it was January. So, you know, it was him and then what? It was Ken Jennings, right?
Yeah. And right. Ken Jennings was picked even before Alex died to do some of the relief pitching for him.
Yeah, he was brought on as a consultant, and I think he was there in case Alex got too sick and he could step in. That's what I assumed and why they put him there. So it's just interesting. I don't know. I guess we'll go on in a minute to talk about his. Oh, yeah, they will talk about
yeah.
him. Go on.
When Variety magazine published an article last week saying that Richards was the top candidate for the job, there were decidedly mixed reactions. Some on social media expressed disappointment that an executive with influence over the succession battle would end up being the winner.
Oh, yeah, I find it fishy, too. They say, oh, Sony made the choice, but I find
sure,
it a little fishy.
Sure, but sure. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Some made comparisons to Dick Cheney, who was tasked with vetting possible running mates for George W. Bush in 2000, only to take the job himself and become vice president. In an email to Jeopardy staff that the show released to the media earlier this week, Richards, who was the host of a reality show called Beauty and the Geek, wrote that he was humbled and deeply honored when he was asked if he would consider hosting the show. The choice on this is not my decision, never has been, Richards wrote. Alex always believed the game itself, the contestants were the most important aspects of the show. In his note, Richards also addressed an employment lawsuit against The Price is Right, which when he was an executive producer, a controversy that resurfaced online when his name was floated for the position. In 2010, one of the game show's former models, Brandi Cochran, filed a pregnancy discrimination lawsuit against the show, CBS, and others, saying that after she revealed she was pregnant, she was repeatedly taken out of action. She would have appeared in before and was denied the chance to return to work after she took maternity leave. Case went to trial and a jury sided with Cochran, awarding her about $8.5 million, but the decision was later overturned. A judge ordered a new trial. The sides ultimately settled in 2016. Richards wrote in his note to Jeopardy staff, "The way in which my comments and actions have been characterized in these complaints does not reflect the reality of who I am or how we work together on The Price is Right." He added, "I would not say anything to disrespect anyone's pregnancy and have always supported my colleagues on their parenting journeys." In another lawsuit from another former Price is Right model, Lanisha Cole, said in 2011 that Richards refused to speak with her for an unknown reason and instead sent messages to her via other staffers on the show. Richards was ultimately dropped as a defendant in the case, which was settled outside of court. Richards did not address that lawsuit directly in his note. A statement from Sony Pictures said company representatives had spoken with Richards about the issues raised in the lawsuits and about their commitment to maintaining a workplace environment where employees are respected and supported. When Bob Barker left The Price is Right after 35 years of hosting, Richards auditioned for the job but did not get it. He was later brought on as executive producer, tasked with helping to figure out how the show could thrive with Drew Carey as its new host.
I thought that factoid was interesting, though.
That is interesting.
He wanted the job as host, and was later brought in as an executive producer.
Mm-hmm. So I think he started from executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In an interview in January about the challenge of replacing Trebek, Richards said he wanted to take the show transition slowly and know there would be enormous pressure on whoever was chosen. Alex is a legend. There's no two ways about it, he said. Replacing a legend is going to be nerve-wracking. If you're not nervous, then you're not paying attention. Episodes for the new season, the show's 38th, will start airing on September 13th.
So they got to get cracking there on
making some shows. Yeah.
Matt Imodio will be back. So we'll probably be doing more stories around how the new hosts are faring and when will Matt Imodio's reign as a Jeopardy champion end.
How long will it continue?
A whole other season? Will it, like, outstrip Ken Jennings someday? Potential is there.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's I don't know?
So, I don't know what you
should
would,
we yeah. do. Should we take a brief break?
I think we should.
Okay.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
All right, we're back, and it looks like we've got some tips for people who are returning to college. Or
yeah, it's that time of year where, you know, freshmen are going to be entering college any day now. So we thought we would collect up some tips, 10 tips, for college freshmen that they should know.
All right.
Adjusting to college life can be difficult for students transitioning from high school and even for those who are older students. While there may be some bumps along the way, here are 10 things from U.S. News that freshmen should know once they're on campus. 1.
Mm-hmm.
Maintain a budget.
Yes, everybody should do that.
While students and parents are aware of the upfront costs of college, they should also be cognizant of the hidden costs. Keeping a record of all expenditures will force students to be accountable for extracurricular spending, including clothes, shopping, and nights out with friends. Can't you get, like, prepaid credit cards and just put the money on that and that budgeting that way?
That's the way to do it. When you should start that when they're young, actually. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a good time to learn if you haven't already.
I think that's what I would do.
Yeah. Number 2, less is more when packing for college. Having to choose what to bring to college can be stressful. Freshmen should remember they are moving into a small space with little storage, advises a college administrator's Q&A post. Students should pack items they can share with roommates. Also bring storage boxes that can be stored under beds and in closets.
Wow. Number 3, get along with roommates. One major transition for many college students is adjusting to sharing a small space with other people. Roommates may be able to avoid issues if ground rules are set from the beginning. Having conversations about cleaning schedules or having friends over can ensure roommates are on the same page. How realistic is that? I don't know. I never stayed in a dorm room.
Anymore, it's got to be, well, these days dorm rooms are quite a bit bigger, I think. Traditionally, they used to be like, you know, a room like this one with two twin beds and two desks and a closet or a dresser or something.
Right.
So that must have been really tense. But also, people used to grow up in families where they
shared rooms.
And they shared rooms, yeah.
I mean, how does it work when you come from a large house when you have a large bedroom and you're getting squished into a room
that with another human being?
Yeah, I don't know. How does that go over today?
I don't know.
I know I couldn't have shared a room with someone. I was a very shy person and very private, and I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah, that would have been very, very stressful. And it must be me. Be proactive about fighting college stress. Yeah, get on those boxing gloves. Now, there are many things that can pressure new college students. Making friends, doing well in class, and enhancing their resume, to name a few. But freshmen may be able to alleviate some of this stress by getting enough sleep, exercising regularly, or seeking out counseling services on campus.
Well, you know, there also is homesickness. I know some of my friends, when they went off to college, experienced homesickness. There was that whole adjustment period, especially that first month was like the worst.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of kids do drop out.
Fight the freshman 15. For many students, college is the first time they've been responsible for their own meals, and college dining halls often offer buffet options. Freshmen who want to fight the bulge should consider counting calories, and many schools have made this easier to do so by sharing calorie information.
There you go. Consider Greek life. Okay. Freshmen who are worried about making friends on campus could consider joining a fraternity or sorority. Greek life exposes students to formal dances, intramural sports, and philanthropic projects, to name a few. But before joining, students should consider the pros and cons of Greek life.
Well, you know, it's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone.
Everyone, you know, I grew up in a time where when people pledged, they got bullied a lot. So I know one friend who pledged to Greek life and
was not accepted, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And he went through a very difficult time because of that.
Yes.
So that, yeah, so I had, yeah, a rough time adjusting to his roommate, as I remember as well.
That was, yeah, eventually they were okay.
They were okay. Yeah. It took time. Yeah. And he was an only child, so that must have been a very
that played into it, too.
That didn't help matters. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, you can reinvent yourself in college or not. I don't know.
Yeah. See, we did the stay-at-home thing. I did the online stay-at-home thing.
Yeah, so. And I just commuted. Yes. And then did it later in life, too. So I did part of it up front and then went back later. And then went back again because for some reason I liked getting college degrees and collecting them. So I went through a phase there.
Yeah. Anyway, fine, cheap college.
You could still
go back into that phase. I know that DBA is calling to you, Rosalind.
Yeah. Find cheap college textbooks. Full-time students spend an average of $655 on required course materials during the 2010-2011 school year, according to the National Association of College Stores. Before freshmen purchase textbooks at college bookstores, they should consider renting. Many of these sites will also let you rent and sell your textbooks. That includes, here we go, get out your pencils. Yep. Amazon.com.
Who knew?
BigWords.com. eBay. Mm-hmm. CheapestTextbooks.com. Barnes & Noble's used textbook section. So I didn't know Barnes & Noble had a used textbook section.
I knew they usually operate the stores anymore. But
right. Well, campusbooks.com is pretty big. So is Chegg Books.
It is huge.
And velourbooks.com. So yeah. Cheapest textbooks, Campus Books, Chegg Books. Those are good places to look for books.
Definitely. I actually, when I went to school, half.com existed. It was kind of the heyday of half.com. And it was a great way, because I remember before I knew any of this stuff, my first class back was an astronomy class, and I spent over $300 on my textbooks. And there was a rental. It was super expensive. And there wasn't, I tried after, you know, after that I was able to get some used books from the college bookstore, which was an online bookstore because it was an online college, which, not to demean it, it was one of the state colleges here in New Jersey, Thomas Edison. I digress. I didn't know, but after a very short period of time, found out about half. I didn't realize. I knew that they sold books and CDs. I didn't realize they did textbooks. Not only was it a good way to obtain textbooks very inexpensively, especially if you didn't care what condition they were in, which I generally didn't. What was I going to say? You could sell them back very easily.
Did you sell your astronomy book?
I did not sell the astronomy book because it was too far down the line. Yeah. And I did actually hang on to my core books because I expected to be studying for GMAT or something like that. GRE, but I did sell back a lot of the other books, a lot of the electives and stuff like that, and so I could actually finance the books for one class by selling the books for another. So,
very good. Well, I didn't. They didn't really have the internet
when you went to school.
When I went to school, so I did buy a lot of used books and return my books at the end. Most of the time, not all the time. I kept a lot of books too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can also get your. I'll do number 8 since it's related, and sure. Then you can do 9 and 10. You could get textbooks for free. While using online services to compare textbook prices can save students money, there may be ways to get free copies of textbooks. Before buying a textbook, students should explore the library for extra copies or see if their professor has extras to lend out to students. I don't know how successful you'd be there, but I guess you could try.
I know. I've heard that there's PDFs. There's also book rental now, so you don't have to end up with that stuff on your bookshelf for decades later as you agonize about throwing out that $300 textbook. Yeah. There's rentals. I believe there's electronic versions, which sometimes are just as expensive as a paper copy. So it's up to your taste. 9, use technology to manage college life. There are a lot of obligations and events on college students' plate, and it can become overwhelming to manage. Innovations in education technology have opened the door for students to more easily organize their daily activities through new mobile apps available on both Apple and Android devices.
You can take two.
Sure. Dealing with a bad grade in college. Receiving a bad grade can be frustrating, but it can also be a learning experience. Students who have questions about their grade should set up a meeting with their professor, which can be beneficial in numerous ways. The student learns from the experience, and the professor gets to know the student.
All right.
All right.
Well, that wraps it up for 10 Things Freshmen Should Know. So that brings us on to our mocktail. So mock it up, Vic.
All right. Well, you actually found this mocktail for us.
I did.
You did some research today. Well, you did. You wrote this script today.
Yeah, the entire script is all me.
Yes. Yes. So thank you.
You're welcome.
It includes a mocktail called the Magic Apple. And it has a very interesting ingredient that we're going to talk a little bit about in depth. But it has 2 ounces of Ritual Whiskey Alternative, which this thing is an actual Ritual Zero Proof Whiskey Alternative. Is a award-winning non-alcoholic spirit.
It's only 10 calories.
It's only 10 calories. It's both keto, paleo, and low-carb diet friendly, which would also probably be okay for diabetics to a certain extent, I would think. It makes delicious alcohol-free cocktails.
And you can buy it. It retails somewhere around $25 for a bottle.
That's right.
And
you can probably find... You might be able to find it at your local wine shop.
A wine shop? You think
wine
so?
Shop.
You can definitely get it on Amazon.
You can pretty much get everything
it's
on
built,
Amazon.
Apparently,
yeah.
It's built for cocktails. Our non-alcoholic whiskey alternative is especially crafted to replace traditional whiskey one-to-one in the drinks that you already know and love. Ritual spirits are made for cocktails and not meant to be consumed straight or neat.
Okay, so they're meant to mix in?
Yeah.
And it's a healthier choice. The oak, smoke, caramel, and comforting warmth of whiskey without the alcohol or carbs, and only 10 calories for conscious consumption that leaves you at your best.
It's got an award-winning flavor, the highest-rated whiskey alternative, which I didn't know there was a bunch of whiskey alternatives out there. I'm just finding out this today. According to the Industry Standard Beverage Tasting Institute and the best-selling whiskey alternative on Amazon, all natural flavors of vanilla, stone fruit, and sugar floss for a smooth body and warming heat.
Designed for your lifestyle, whether you're driving, training, dieting, parenting, staying out late, getting up early, seeking the perfect third drink, or abstaining altogether.
And each order comes with a complete with a protective gift box and a 30-page recipe book to inspire your home cocktail creations. You can make an old-fashioned or Manhattan. They're all natural botanicals, marry happily with orange bitters
and vermouth. All right.
So let's get to it. What's the recipe, Vic?
Yeah. I can feel a Boulevardier coming on. So, 2 ounce ritual whiskey alternative, 2 ounces of apple cider or apple juice, 2 dashes of bitters, a cinnamon stick, an apple slice. Instructions: combine the first 3 ingredients. That would be your whiskey alternative, your apple cider, and your dashes of bitters in a tall glass with ice. Stir until cold. Pour over fresh ice. Garnish with a cinnamon stick and apple slice, and serve.
Awesome.
Sounds very, very tasty.
All right. So very quickly, because I think we've got like 2 minutes left, our calendar section. Free outdoor concerts on Wednesdays at Stengel Stage at 50 Stengel Road in Flemington. This Wednesday, August 18th, Henry Wierzak at 6:30 p.m. I don't know. You can skip the next one.
Sure. The Open Cupboard Food Pantry and Thrift Shop is having an open house on Saturday, August 21st at 1:30 p.m. to learn about the pantry and volunteer opportunities. Open Cupboard Food Pantry and Thrift Shop is located at 37 Old Highway 22 in Clinton.
Back by popular demand, Woods Edge Lunch with the Llamas on Sunday, September 12th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. rain or shine at Woods Edge Farm, located at 78 Bone Station Road in Stockton. You need to get your tickets in advance, and each ticket includes parking with ride wagon shuttle service from parking area to lunch location. Dining at a table set up along the llama pasture fences. Parties of no more than 6 are permitted. Your choice of a delicious lunch prepared by Constellation Culinary Group. One bag of llama alpaca feed. The farm store will also be open for your shopping pleasure. And if you have any questions regarding lunch with the llamas, please email info@woodsedge.com.
Peddler's Village in Lahaska is having a murder mystery outdoor theater, Murder at the Moulin, Saturdays through September 25th. The convening owners of Moulin Bleu will stop at nothing to save their struggling business. Keep your eyes open for hidden clues and mimes in the Laugh Out Loud Whodunit. Cash bar, ages 18 plus. Reservations required. For more information, you can go visit peddlersvillage.com.
That's right. Juniper Hills Farmers Market, located at 73 Beaver Avenue in Annandale, every Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. through November. There will be acoustic music and cold drinks flowing from the bar, so sip, shop, and support local.
All right, in Land Trust Farmers Market, is open every Sunday through November 21st, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the DeVore Farm at 111 Mine Street in Flemington. Vendors offer an array of organic produce, all-natural beef, chicken, and pork, five fresh-baked breads, cave-ripened cheeses, honey, pies, native plants, fresh-cut flowers, locally roasted coffee, milk, and more. Shoppers should check herndonlandtrust.org for the latest information. Sounds great.
Yeah, it does. And it's time for us to go. So we're going to go take a walk ourselves. Thank you for joining us on Walk Random Walk this evening. I'm Roz Davis.
Victoria Davis.
We'll catch up with you next week.
Sure.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The federal mask mandate on airplanes and other forms of public transportation will remain in effect until January of next year. This as the White House is expected to back plans for COVID vaccine booster shots for most Americans. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki saying boosters have always been part of their contingency plan.
Part of our operational focus was ensuring we had enough supply to provide booster shots should that be a decision made by the FDA. So that has been in our planning processes for months now.
California is getting extra help from the feds to fight wildfires. The state securing two fire management assistant grants from federal emergency managers to help suppress the Monument Fire burning in Trinity County and the Dixie Fire in Lassen County. Combined, the fires have burned more than 720,000 acres. This is USA Radio News.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans are now tuning in to Newsmax TV. It's one of the biggest media stories. Newsmax is available on all major cable systems. And if you cut the cord and don't get cable, you can still get Newsmax. Find it on your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. Just go to your smart TV channel guide or download the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, or TiVo. And 7 million people have the Newsmax app on their smartphone. It takes seconds to download it on your phone, and there's no paywall or subscription. So watch Newsmax for breaking news anytime, anywhere. President Trump says Newsmax is really good, and Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are watching Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
The Pentagon reports they're stepping up evacuations from Afghanistan.
The U.S. military has received assurances from the Taliban that they will not interfere with operations at the Kabul airport. Major General Hank Taylor, who is a senior official with the Pentagon Joint Chiefs of Staff, said they're picking up the pace of the airlift.
re-predict that our best effort could look like 5,000 to 9,000 passengers departing per day.
On the first day of the airlift, there was a breakdown of security as hundreds of Afghans tried to climb on a C-17 transport plane as it took off from Kabul. Video from the scene showed two people falling from the plane to their death, but another was later